We know you're listening to this podcast to relax and not to be distracted by ads, but this one is here to help. If you're an Aeon customer, you could win a holiday of your choice worth £5,000. You could seek out thrills or choose to chill. Enter by December 31st at eonenergy.com/win. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back, guys. So this is 2.0. It's definitely not going to be as long as it was yesterday, that's for sure. But what I'm going to do today is I'm going to stream some live videos for you guys regarding what's happening in Douma in Syria regarding this latest false flag attack from the Western interests and the neocons. And there's going to be three different interviews which are going to be streamed together. One with George Galloway. Now, this guy is a politician, a Scot, who is so passionate and so powerful and really speaks his truth. The guy is an absolute beauty. He's a gem. And also Syrian girl. So Syrian girl's a beautiful woman from Syria who's been reporting some truth which has been going on in her own country. Now, this is what we have to do. We have to work out what's going on in our own countries to understand and identify what's actually happening. How can we constantly keep getting the news from outside sources when they're not even in the country? And we know what the news is like. We know how things are going. And it's pretty simple, really. It's very, very simple. There we go. It's live. It's working. Cool. Running a new program. We have to be very, very careful where we're getting our information from. And this looks like another attempt to get into a war with Russia. Because as you all know, Russia's not playing the game with the New World Order. They're not buying into the drama and to the BS. And who does war benefit? It benefits countries that are manufacturing weapons and selling weapons amongst each other. It supports weapons manufacturers and places like Raytheon and all these countries and companies which are basically involved in weapons. It also is about oil. There's a fair bit of oil in Syria. I mean, nothing compared to what the United States has already claimed around the place anyway. So we have to look deeper than the narrative that's currently on the television and understand that, like, Douma is it's a suburb in Ghouta. And at the moment, Syria and the Syrian army have basically won. Most of the insurgents over there had given up. They've given up their weapons. And they were being basically asked to leave. And it's a funny thing that people kill everyone and behead people and do all this crazy stuff. But then when the war's over, it's like, oh, I'll just jump on a bus. And this is what is actually very interesting, because the Australian federal government was involved in funding the buses taking the terrorists out of there. So this does involve our country, and this does tell you what our taxpayers are there doing. They all jumped on a bus and they headed out of there. But there was 4,000 people that were taken hostage and have been kind of running around in caverns and tunnels. So only 200 people came out alive. So it makes you question where the other 3,800 people are. Are they the bodies that have been used in the attacks? And it's basically, yeah, there's a lot going on. So we don't hear this in the mainstream news. It's very obvious that we're only getting a small portion of what's going on. But what we do know is that China and Russia are heading down there now, and they're heading into a war. Everyone's heading down there. We've got a US Donald Cook, a destroyer, which is 100 kilometers from the Russian military base, which is there. And it's got 60 Tomahawk missiles ready to fucking blast off. And each Tomahawk missile, by the way, actually costs $1.4 million. So we're going to spend $84 million on those Tomahawk missiles. And it's basically going to be stopping the Syrian people from rebuilding their country and then having their own oil and using their oil to rebuild. So I'm going to jump into a interview with George Galloway, and I hope you guys enjoy it because it should be powerful. This guy's a legend, but we'll see how it goes, and I'll chuck you on to Georgie now and have a listen, and then we'll go on to Syrian Girl with Paul Joseph Watson and one more interview after that.
Chinese Navy is steaming towards the Syrian coast in the Mediterranean Sea. The Russian Navy is already there, as is the Russian Air Force and a substantial number of Russian special forces and other specialists. At the same time, Theresa May and Donald Trump, a man you are all calling a certifiable madman and criminal who should be locked up, and President Macron are about to cry havoc and unleash the dogs of war on Syria. What could possibly go wrong? Well, everything, anything. It could be the end. I lived through the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962-63. I know what it's like to be lying in bed wondering if the world is going to come to an end. Now, if we're very lucky, the conflict that is about to flare up in a tiny Arab country on the Mediterranean will be of limited duration and scope, with only high-powered conventional weapons attached to the cruise missiles that will very soon be flying. But if one side suffers any great disadvantage, the danger of a switch to tactical nuclear weapons leading ineluctably to an exchange of medium range and then potentially intercontinental ballistic nuclear warfare is there. This is the most dangerous moment since the Cuban Missile Crisis, when I was a small boy. Hyperbole? Well, let's hope so. But it's what I believe. And I have a long track record of being right. And the people telling you otherwise have an equally long track record of being absolutely wrong. Not that it stops them, of course, and not that it stops some of the sheeple from baaing and running like Pavlov's dogs to the side of the Western war machines. You're going to hear stuff tonight that you're not going to hear anywhere else, which makes it all the more precious. Trust me on this, dear listeners. What I'm saying to you tonight will be a cut out and keep. You will play it back to yourselves if we're still alive in years to come and say, Galloway was right again. Blair, Trump and May were wrong, wrong, wrong. And it all led to a bloody disaster, because that's the track that we are on. Let me just go back to first principles. I disagree with the news bulletin you've just heard. Syria and Russia do not deny that the Syrian regime carried out the chemical weapons attack in Douma. Syria and Russia deny that there was any chemical weapons attack in Douma by anybody. And guess what? There is absolutely zero evidence that any chemical weapons attack took place. The Red Cross, those well-known Bolsheviks, have found no trace of any chemical weapon residue in the soil and other samples that they took yesterday and today. The Red Crescent, ditto. The Russian army, ditto. The Syrian army, ditto. Independent war correspondents, ditto. I've been watching film all day of people walking around without masks, without even covering their mouths and nose. Not an NBC suit in sight in an area that we have been told was the site of a devastating chemical weapons attack. Remember, you heard it from me here. It is a lie, and a lie from the same stable that told you we had to invade and occupy Iraq because that country was bristling with weapons of mass destruction, which at 45 minutes notice could rain down on you and me, or at least on our military base in Cyprus. 45 minutes. That's what Tony Blair said. Tony Blair said today that we must go to war with Syria and we must not put it to Parliament to vote on it. This from a man who's openly campaigning to overturn the result of a British referendum on EU membership, who claims that Parliament must be the supreme body on deciding on the terms of Brexit, says that Parliament does not have to be consulted before entering what could turn out to be World War III. Let me make some predictions to you. I heard, as some of you might, because it was on TalkSport News, not somewhere that the Emir of Qatar frequently appears, but then who knew that the Emir of Qatar, a petrol station masquerading as a country, even could speak? He certainly can't run for election, of course, because he's the emir for life, unless one of his family stab him in the back like all the other members of his family have stabbed all the other members of their family in the back. He said he'd just been on the phone to President Trump and that they had seen eye to eye. Must have been FaceTime. What a pleasure. These two ogres talking to each other on FaceTime. And the emir said that they had seen eye to eye and had agreed on what must happen next. And what must happen next, he inferred, implied, more or less stated, was a full-scale, full-on regime change war on Syria. As I said at the beginning, what could possibly go wrong? They've tried that, you see, in Iraq, and they tried it in Libya, and it led to the disaster that every one of you already knows and doesn't need me to adumbrate, though it would appear our media and political class have entirely forgotten all about it. But here's the difference, dear listeners. Nobody stood behind Iraq. Nobody stood behind Libya. In Syria, Russia, China, Iran, and its allies will stand firm against the coming United States, Great Britain, France attack on Syria. Now, you may be sanguine about that. I am not. I have seen war. I've been in war. I've been lying on the ground, pressing my nose into the earth, hoping that I could somehow sink a centimeter lower as bombs fragmented and swirled all around me, slicing human beings to pieces right in front of my eyes. In fact, I was traveling with an ITN news crew who, when we stood up, were able to film the dying children. I know what this is going to be like, and I know it's going to be hell on earth. And why is it being done? To avenge what they claim is 40 dead people. So you're going to kill thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Syrians to avenge 40 dead Syrians? Now, there are Syrians dying in large numbers every day because there's a full-scale war going on in Syria between ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and all the other Jaishes, the alphabet soup of Syrian and international Islamist fanaticism. That's true. And some very, very melancholy, lamentable, sad, disgraceful, and outrageous and atrocious things have happened in the course of that war. One of the reasons why there are no Western journalists in Douma is because the journalists wouldn't need their hats on the way back home. I remind you that Syria and Russia are fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda and their ilk, the people who sliced the throats of British journalists on video, the people who crucified Christians outside their churches before destroying them, the people who burned people alive in cages, the people who drowned people alive in cages, the people who have plumbed depths that even the Nazis did not plumb. Perhaps technology has just moved on. And you'll recall, because I told you about it so many times, how one of these moderate Syrian rebels filmed himself cutting out the heart and the liver of a captive and eating it on camera for the edification of his friends and followers. That's what's happening in Syria. That's what was happening in Iraq. And Britain and America killed, slaughtered 10,000 Iraqi civilians. 10,000, not 40, 10,000 Iraqi civilians, many of them women and children, in the liberation of Mosul from exactly the same ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the alphabet soup of fanatic extremism. So spare me your sanctimony. Spare me your hypocrisy. Ye who send weapons to Saudi Arabia to massacre Yemeni children by the hundreds every day, but you're going to confront Russia and China. Over 40 dead people in Douma? Really? Well, look, if you believe the Skripal narrative, you probably have already swallowed the Kool-Aid on the coming war with Iraq. If it wasn't for the fact that so many innocent people will die, and some of them will be service personnel from our own country too, then I'd say go right ahead. I really would. I'm so filled with rage, I really would say go right ahead, because you are entering the gates of hell and you will be incinerated in it. The problem is, so will a lot of other people. It's the mother of all talk shows.
Yeah, so that's George Galloway, guys. A man who lives with his heart on his sleeve. And if you didn't realise, this is actually a 2.0 of what happened last year. This is the exact same thing, and it's almost happened to the day. Because Trump said, hey, we're going to pull the troops out of Syria. And then certain special interests are like, no. That's not going to suit us. That's not going to work for us. We're over there taking oil. We need the military strategic standpoint, which is Damascus, which is kind of between Turkey, Syria, and Israel. You have Lebanon, obviously, on the other side there. So it's a very important strategic military point. So to lose Syria would be a big loss to Russia, China, and other countries who are fighting against the neocons. Because this is a war. This is a war. This is a world war. It's been going on since World War I. We've never stopped fighting. It's just gone from country to country, civil war to civil war. For Al-Qaeda to different terrorist sects, to Al-Nusra, to whatever. All different names, all different soup. We call them moderates, we call them extremists, we call them this, we call them that. But what we do know for sure is that the Syrian army and Assad are working together, and the Syrian people, they like Assad. They work with Assad. They worship him, they love him, because he's doing the best for the Syrian country. For the news to go in and say, oh, this has happened in that country, is very interesting, because there's been a very credible report that I came across on LaRouchePack.com. Now, I won't play that video today. And it was a physician, an English speaking physician from the hospital near Douma, where apparently the chemical attacks happen. And he's been in contact and said that they've had no reports at the hospital of anyone coming in with any chemical attacks, with any injuries remotely like what they're talking about in the news. So we have to question, did anything at all happen? Now, these white hats, these people who are apparently helping, they're called the white hats. These guys are working with the insurgents. these guys are working with the terrorist sects. They're basically little spies running around pretending to do humanitarian aid missions and things like that. But they're actually working for the insurgents. They're working for the terrorists. So that's another big lie, another big falsity. So anyway, this time last year, we had Secretary of Defense James McInnes, James Mattis, sorry, and he quoted, the U.S., quote, has no evidence that the U.S. government used the banned nerve agent sarin gas against its own people. This is the exact same situation which is going on 1 year later. But what happened last year? We still went to war, right? We still went into war. Why did we go into war when there was no proof that there was Assad firing chemical weapons on his own people? Absolutely no proof, but they're like, yep, we're going to war, and just by chance, there's a destroyer sitting 100 kilometers off the coast now with 60 Tomahawk missiles ready to fire at Syria. And what will that do? Last time they had an attack and they attacked Syria, they just attacked the airbase, the Syrian airbase, and blew up the airbase and killed a bunch of the Free Syrian Army, are the people who are actually fighting off these terrorists. So it's the same narrative, it's the same agenda going over and over again. It's just how long will people buy into it for? How long will people buy into the mainstream news and propaganda? So anyway, I'm going to go to an interview now of Syrian Girl and Paul Joseph Watson. So this is a very good, credible source, which is Syrian Girl. She sends back information of what's going on over there because she's from Syria. So we'll get onto that now and let you guys have a listen. And there's one more very interesting live stream after that, which I'll go to. If you can share this video and like it and get it out there, that'll be great. I can see that it's been kind of trapped in the algorithms. I've got my phone there. And when you project it through a program, like if you hyperlink YouTube or you put your Facebook page on, or if you do a hyperlink to your website, Facebook doesn't like it. Facebook doesn't like YouTube, doesn't like any other programs. It wants you uploading directly from your phone so it can take all the metadata. Because last night I was up to 115 people at this time, and now I'm on, I think, you know, whatever it says. And I also watched the views climbing up to a couple of hundred, then drop down, climbing up and dropping down. So the censorship is actually knocking down the views as well, making it look like it's not a very engaging post. That's what's happening in the truth community. That's another topic for another day. Let's go to Syrian Girl now and Paul Joseph Watson on the UN can't find any evidence of chemical attacks in Syria.
Douma is a suburb that's part of a bigger suburb called Ghouta. Now, the insurgents that controlled Ghouta, which were Al-Qaeda linked, by the way, and the US, even in the United Nations, agreed that Al-Qaeda was controlling this city. The majority of them actually surrendered and had already given up their weapons or taken a bus ride to another town called Idlib. So the only group that hadn't surrendered was this group called the Islamic Army, or Jaysh al-Islam. And the reason they didn't surrender and they controlled Douma is because they had leverage in the form of hostages, civilian hostages that they had kidnapped from nearby pro-Assad towns. And these are the wives and children of basically Syrian soldiers. And these civilians, they took them and they put them in cages in about 2015, and they paraded them around Douma and said that, you know,
these are the moderates. These are the moderates that put people in cages and parade them around. In fact, I've seen the video clips of that, parading them around in cages. They had another video which you play, which there was one of the victims. They made them walk through like underground tunnels, and they look very distressed. We're playing some of that footage now of them in the cages. So this group, this Army of Islam, that they were the remaining factions who refused to surrender, because as far as I understand it, the other rebels had agreed, right, with the Syrians that they would leave within 48 hours for these other rebel-controlled areas, and they would get out of Douma. But you're saying they had these hostages. Were those hostages amongst the victims in this attack, do you think?
I think so. I mean, the part of the negotiations, which did go through in the end, was that they have to release the hostages. And the number of hostages was 4,000, except only 200 of the hostages actually came out alive. So what happened to the other 3,800?
We are live on the Alex Jones Show on the verge of what looks like another disastrous military intervention into the Middle East, not just on behalf of America, but other Western nations too. Steve Herman, White House Bureau Chief with VOA, tweets further indications just now from French President Emmanuel Macron and the Saudi Crown Prince that a multinational military action is being planned to respond to the latest reported chemical weapons attack against civilians in Syria. Also, Macron said if strikes are launched in Syria, they will target the chemical weapons capabilities of the Assad regime. Wait a sec, I thought they gave up the chemical weapons. I thought that's why we didn't do this back in 2013. We also have destroyers steaming their way towards Syria right now. The US Navy destroyer USS Donald Cook is already in the region. As of yesterday, it's equipped with 60 Tomahawk cruise missiles. We also have this headline, US missile destroyer reportedly sailing towards Syria as Trump weighs options. And we have a seven warship strike group with cruise missiles on its way to the Mediterranean. That is the Harry S. Truman carrier strike group. But they're saying that's not going to reach Syria until April 22nd, which is in 12 days' time. So it's pretty bizarre how if this is supposed to be a quick, rapid response strike, they're allowing Syria to prepare for it, make maneuvers, get certain things out of the way. So could they be waiting for a massive strike, which includes Saudi Arabia, France, the UK, all these different countries? If so, it's going to be very different from what happened last year when, of course, they basically just did one symbolic strike on an airbase. Not very many people died. Not very much damage was done. It was a symbolic act. It was pretty pointless. This looks like it could be something way bigger and that they may take a little more time to arrange it, at least in terms of an international alliance. Now, to talk about all this, we're joined by Syrian girl Maram Susli, who, is a regular contributor for Infowars.com. She is a geopolitical analyst for New Eastern Outlook. And she put out a video a couple of days ago called What Really Happened? Chemical Attack That Led to Missile Strikes on Syria. And she's here to talk about it now. Maram, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Now, let's get into the background of this because, you know, unlike the Trump administration, it seems, unlike President Macron, unlike Saudi Arabia, we're not just going to have a flippant, reckless reaction, not knowing any of the evidence. Let's actually look at what could have possibly happened in this town, both before and after when this chemical attack happened. What was the situation in the town of Douma before this alleged attack happened? Was there any kind of battlefield or strategic motive for the Syrian army to launch this attack? What was the situation on the ground before it happened?
No, there wasn't. And it's exactly as you said. You know, Douma is a suburb that's part of a bigger suburb called Ghouta. Now, the insurgents that controlled Ghouta, which were Al-Qaeda linked, by the way, and the U.S., even in the United Nations, agreed that Al-Qaeda was controlling this city. The majority of them actually surrendered and had already given up their weapons or taken a bus ride to another town called Idlib. So the only group that hadn't surrendered was this group called the Islamic Army or Jaish al-Islam. And the reason they didn't surrender and they controlled Douma is because they had leverage in the form of hostages, civilian hostages that they had kidnapped from nearby pro-Assad towns. And these are the wives and children of basically Syrian soldiers. And these civilians, they took them and they put them in cages in about 2015, and they paraded them around Douma and said that, you know,
these are the moderates. These are the moderates that put people in cages and parade them around. In fact, I've seen the video clips of that, parading them around in cages. They had another video which you play, which there was one of the victims. They made them walk through like underground tunnels and they look very distressed. We're playing some of that footage now of them in the cages. So this group, this Army of Islam, that they were the remaining factions who refused to surrender, because as far as I understand it, the other rebels had agreed, right, with the Syrians that they would leave within 48 hours for these other rebel-controlled areas and they would get out of Douma. But you're saying they had these hostages. Were those hostages amongst the victims in this attack, do you think?
I think so. I mean, the part of the negotiations, which did go through in the end, was that they have to release the hostages. and the number of hostages was 4,000, except only 200 of the hostages actually came out alive. So what happened to the other 3,800? You know, the thing is that the reason they put them in cages was because they were using them as human shields. You're playing the video now of the civilians in the tunnels. They actually released that video 2 weeks ago as a sort of evidence to the government that they still have the hostages. The hostages are still alive, so that they could get the negotiations going. This group, Army of Islam, is actually supported and funded by Saudi Arabia. And, you know, it's interesting because if you see the timing of this chemical attack, first of all, Trump said he wants troops out of Syria. Now, why would Assad use chemical weapons if it looked like the U.S. was finally about to just leave and, you know, let him take back the entire country? It's exactly the same scenario that played out last year when the U.S. State Department, almost a year to the day of this attack, the U.S. State Department said that regime change is no longer the objective, and now basically and then a week later a chemical attack happened and regime change went back on the objective. And the interesting thing about Trump's statement is that after he said he wants to pull troops out of Syria, a few days later he said that if Saudi Arabia wants U.S. troops to stay in Syria, they're going to have to pay for it. And of course Saudi Arabia pays money to this Islamic army group that's controlling Duma, and these are the people that conducted the false flag chemical attack. So basically this was Saudi Arabia's way of, you know, keeping the US in Syria, because basically they had negotiations with the US and the Kurds in the northeast of the country, and they were basically given like control over the northeast of the country. So Saudi Arabia thinks it owns the northeast of Syria. And what does the US get out of this? You know, it's not really Saudi Arabia that's running the show, and it's not Saudi money either, because you know, even though the northeast of Syria is full of oil and majority of Syrian oil is there, the US doesn't really need any more oil. The amount of oil that Syria has is nothing compared to the amount of oil that the US has. The point is that they don't want Syrians to have that oil. They don't want Syria to be able to rebuild and become strong again. And why is that? Well, you know, Tucker Carlson asked that question on his show to Senator Roger Wicker, and he said it was because it was in the interest of Israel.
So you're saying that It's basically a conspiracy between Saudi Arabia and Israel. We've now got Saudi Arabia announcing they're going to join the strikes with France. Now, I want to flash back to this, and we'll get more into this after the break. There's a headline up on Newsweek, that famous right-wing publication. Now Mattis admits there was no evidence Assad used poison gas on his people. That's literally the headline. This came out in February. Nobody really paid much attention to it. This is about the strike that happened last year, which was, of course, we were told, oh, beyond any shadow of a doubt, it was Assad that carried out the strike in April last year. Now they admitted back in February, listen to this, lost in the hyper-politicized hullabaloo surrounding the Nunes memorandum and the Steele dossier was a striking statement by Secretary of Defense James Mattis that the US has, quote, no evidence, that's his words, no evidence that the Syrian government used the banned nerve agent sarin gas against its own people. This assertion flies in the face of the White House NSC memorandum, which was rapidly produced, again, with no investigation, and declassified to justify an American Tomahawk missile strike against the Shayarat Air Base in Syria. So they were the exact same situation again. There's no independent investigation. Oh, but it must have been Assad, right? Who else could it be? Well, no, you got it completely wrong the last time out. You lied to the American people. You lied to the world. And we're heading into something even bigger now. This could lead to absolute chaos. And we're just sleepwalking into it once again. Nobody seems to care. We'll get more into it after the break with Syrian Girl. This is the Alex Jones Show Live. Don't go away. So we have the USS Donald Cook destroyer, armed with 60 Tomahawk missiles, just 100 kilometers from the Russian naval base of Tartus in Syria. We have Russian jets reportedly harassing that US destroyer. And now we have this, and I just tweeted this out on my Prison Planet Twitter account out of Heretz. Senior Russian lawmaker, U.S. strike on Syria could trigger direct military clash with Russia. Oh, joy. Senior Russian lawmaker says a U.S. strike could trigger direct military clash with Russia. This is Vladimir Shamanov, a retired general who heads the Defense Affairs Committee in the lower house of parliament, who said in televised remarks today that a U.S. strike in Russia could hurt Russian servicemen and trigger Russian retaliation. Oh, gee, a proxy war between the United States and Russia. Got that to look forward to by the looks of it. He said that Russia has the necessary means for that, and the Americans and their allies know that quite well. Now, you've seen massive movement of Russian aircraft, Russian naval facilities over the past 24 hours. Now they're saying if there's a direct confrontation, Russia could well retaliate. Shamanov emphasized that a retaliatory Russian strike could target U.S. Navy ships and aircraft, of which they're going to be plenty in the region, at least within the next few days. He added that the use of nuclear weapons is unlikely. Oh, thanks. Be thankful for small mercies there. We're joined by Syrian Girl to talk about this. Now, I want to get back into the specifics of the actual chemical weapons attack, but just touching on that for a second. You've got Russian ex-retired generals saying if there's a confrontation, Russia could attack U.S. warships, could literally bomb U.S. warships. We've got Russian fighter jets harassing, doing flybys of U.S. destroyers in the region near the Russian naval base in Tartus. Do you think this is just rhetoric, or could we actually be seeing the potential for direct conflict between the U.S. and Russia that could lead to a wider war? What's the risk here?
I think, you know, it's a game of chicken, obviously. It's brinkmanship. But at the same time, even a game of chicken can end up with a hot war. And I think that's very likely. I mean, Russia has invested a lot. A lot of its troops are all over Syria. They're inside Syrian military bases. As you saw, you know, Russian soldiers were or security officers were killed by U.S. bombs in the last strike on Syria. So those weren't directly Russian military. So perhaps because of that, there was a way out of a direct conflict there. But it's definitely, if the U.S. is going to attack Syria, it is an attack on Russia. There's no doubt about that. And it will end up in a wider war. And they don't really seem to care about that because they think that they can intimidate and brinkmanship their way through by gathering, you know, the U.K., France, Saudi Arabia, you know, this team of basically this mafia of thieves and criminals. And the fact that they're gathering these forces, I think, also doesn't bode well. As you said, it looks like it's not going to be one strike. It might be a sustained warfare, and we might see now the beginning of World War III. So it seems that the deep state has basically won or is winning.
Well, of course, many people suggested that it could be the deep state pressuring Trump, saying, look, you want to prove you're not a Russian agent. You want the Mueller investigation to go away. And some people have suggested that this had a connection to the arrest of Cohen, his lawyer, yesterday, or the search of his files. You know, this is how you do it. You strike a blow against Russia, give them a bloody nose, just to prove that you're not a Russian agent. Of course, you were going to risk World War III, but these people kind of like wars. It's kind of how they get by, how they make business. And as he said, doesn't look like it's going to be a single strike. That's what happened last time, based on, again, no evidence whatsoever. You know, they moved all the aircraft out of the way, basically. They made a hole in the middle of an airfield. Some people died, but it was by no means a massive attack. Now we got the Truman carrier strike group and seven warships with cruise missiles heading to the Mediterranean. They're not going to be there until 22nd of April. The French President Macron has said they're going to wait 2 or 3 days before anything happens. So it looks like this is a build-up to something absolutely massive, at least way bigger than it was last year, given the kind of heavy artillery that's heading towards that region, or at least is promised to be heading towards that region, from the Saudis, from the UK, from France. And again, it's all based on absolutely nothing. This is the fundamental thing that angers me, the rush to war. There's no question whatsoever that this was a horrible incident, that people died. But there's been no investigation, and in fact, yesterday, the expert who was head of UN weapons inspection in Syria came out in Swedish media. This didn't get picked up anywhere. We picked it up in English language. He's called Acker Sellstrom. He said there was no possible benefit for Bashar al-Assad to gain in any way. He said it feels strange. They do not need it. Their tactics were already successful. And again, same situation as April 2017. Trump says they're pulling out, regime change off the table, Syria making gains, taking over new areas, defeating the rebels, and suddenly a convenient chemical weapons attack happens that brings down global condemnation. Do these people not even, can they not even put two and two together at this point? Let's get back into it, though, because you mentioned the Army of Islam. This is one of the moderate groups. Okay, this is a group, correct me if I'm wrong, they're exterminating Shia Muslims, Alawites. They want Sharia law in Syria. They want to impose, in their own words, an Islamic state. They're taking hostages. They're putting them in cages, parading them around, putting them in tunnels. And these are the moderate rebels. These are the people who we're now talking about striking a country in support of, correct or not?
Well, absolutely. And this group, the hostages that they stole from the nearby towns, they include Alawites, Christians, and Sunnis. Basically, anyone that they perceive to be pro-government or has any relative that's working for the government was kidnapped, no matter their religion. But this group, you know, they are related to Ahrar al-Sham, which is, of course, as you know, a group that is linked to Al-Qaeda. So it's like a 3 degrees of separation between them and Al-Qaeda. And of course, they're run by Saudi Arabia. So it's interesting, like, as you said, this looks like a massive strike. It's important to note that yesterday, Israel struck Syria. It struck T4 airbase. That airbase is specifically for the defense of Deir ez-Zor from ISIS. It basically manufactures the drones that attack ISIS in the area. And, you know, an ISIS offensive was launched in conjunction to that attack, as they probably, you know, always take advantage of it. So, like, ISIS is still a problem. Al-Qaeda is still a problem. And all this is happening. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, you might say that, oh, Israel is against Islamists and Al-Qaeda is against Israel's interests. But they've been giving Al-Qaeda medical treatment in the Golan Heights. And Israel and Saudi Arabia have the best relations now that they've ever had, because they both oppose Syria and Iran. In Saudi Arabia's case, it opposes Iran because they're Shiites, and that's it. That's the only reason. So I think that in this scenario, the chemical attack provides the best excuse for the deep state to keep the U.S. military in the northeast of Syria. And this comes a week after the first U.S. soldier dies in Syria. This was a week ago. A US and a UK soldier were killed. And so this chemical attack is again timely, because of course there's going to begin a discussion of why are the troops there and why are they dying. So there's that. And I wanted to just comment about Axel Selstrom. You know, also what he said in 2013 in that very big chemical attack in Damascus, he said that it was very strange that that attack happened on the same day that the OPCW had arrived. So you see, the OPCW didn't arrive after that attack. They arrived before that attack because they were there to investigate another incident in which chemical weapons were used in Aleppo against Syrian government soldiers and on a Syrian government-held area. That's what they were there to do. And on the date they arrived in Damascus, the chemical attack happened. So he said himself that he thought it was strange. And so there's been all of these coincidences that aren't really coincidences, as we know. But what's hypocritical and bizarre is that the U.S. Government, some departments actually acknowledge that the rebels possess chemical weapons. Because if you were to look at the travel advisory to Syria that was released by the U.S. State Department, it said that beware, chemical weapons are being used by both sides. So they say one thing when it comes to the United Nations and when it comes to their people, and then on the other hand, they have something completely different when it comes to the travel warning.
Now, I want to get into this more because, of course, the only evidence that this entire plot, this insane plot of bombing a country is based on, is unverified footage, basically from a group called the White Helmets. Let's get into the White Helmets and what they're all about in the next segment, talking to Syrian Girl. This is the Alex Jones Show live, Infowars.com. We'll be back. We are live and we are into the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show, talking to Syrian Girl. She is at Partisan Girl on Twitter. U.S. destroyers basically right outside the Russian naval airbase, retired Russian generals saying Russia could strike U.S. ships, obviously creating a proxy war at the very least. Massive situation right now in Syria. It's going to spiral out of control if things continue heading the way they are, if cooler heads don't prevail. Now, I'm looking at a headline here from Reuters. This is out of Reuters, May 5th, 2013 headline. UN has testimony that Syrian rebels used sarin gas. UN human rights investigators have gathered testimony from casualties of Syria's civil war and medical staff, indicating that rebel forces have used the nerve agent sarin, one of the lead investigators said on Sunday. Now, this is Carla Del Ponte. She said this, quote, "Our investigators have been in neighboring countries interviewing victims, doctors, and field hospitals. And according to their report of last week, which I have seen, there are strong concrete suspicions, but not yet incontrovertible proof, of the use of sarin gas from the way the victims were treated. This was use on the part of the opposition, the rebels, not by government authorities." That's the UN that said that 5 years ago. We have documented cases, 52 plus by the end of 2016 alone, of ISIS factions in Syria using chemical weapons. Oh, but who would believe that this attack could possibly have been a false flag, right? That's just off the planet thinking. And Maram, isn't it true, and this was in my video, that they discovered an actual rebel chemical weapons factory in this same region where this attack happened just a few weeks ago?
That's exactly right. As they were taking over new and new areas, they basically came across what seems like a chemical weapons lab filled with bottles full of chlorine. This was all filmed. The footage is online. You know, you could see that the place was basically untouched except by rubble. And it's perfectly clear that anyone can make chemicals. I mean, these guys are making makeshift bombs. They have the capability. They've been making gas cylinder bombs for the last 5 years. And on top of which, I'm sure that they have help from intelligence agencies from many countries that have an interest to see this war continue. So I have no, there's really, it's who benefits and who has the means. It's the rebels and the security agencies that want the war to continue. And if you look at, you know, who are the voices that are pushing for the war, it's coming from people like Tony Blair, who caused the Iraq war. And
because he can be trusted on interventions in the Middle East, right? Tony Blair, he's got a perfect track record of foreign interventions in the Middle East. Let's all listen to him. That's a great idea, right?
Exactly. And he made his case for the Iraq war based on what? Chemical weapons, WMDs. It's almost like chemical weapons and WMDs is the only like excuse that they have to start wars, either that or creating democracies. But it seems to be, you know, used over and over and over again, and is including with the Skripal case. What's interesting with this Skripal case, where they accused Russia of attempting to assassinate a ex-spy with a chemical weapon, is that just a day prior to this chemical attack, a story came out trying to link Syria to this assassination of a Russian spy in the UK.
Oh.
And they're trying to make a connection between Syria and Russia and chemical weapons. I don't know why it's always chemical weapons, but I think it has to do with the fact that a lot of the time, before they invade a country, they want to disarm it of chemical weapons.
Well, some people have also suggested, and in fact, I think it was Akerson that said this, it would be difficult to investigate this attack because of the use of chlorine. The effects of it disappear rapidly in the victims. So maybe that's another reason why it's convenient to use this. We'll get more into it after the break with Syrian Girl. Talk about the White Helmets. Talk about where this is going geopolitically. This is the Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be back after the break. Breaking news at Infowars.com. Don't go away. We're going to do one more segment here. Maybe we'll stretch it into two segments with Syrian Girl talking about the imminent attack on Syria is what it looks like. Here's a tweet from airlive.net. According to reports, British forces are mobilizing at their bases in Cyprus, and Rafale fighter jets could take off from Saint-Dizier Air Base in France for possible strikes against Syria. So it looks like it's not going to be this symbolic one strike that we had in April last year. Again, as a result of another chemical weapons attack, was completely unproven. Looks like this is a global effort Could they actually be trying to still unseat a regime change in Syria, given how disastrous it was in Iraq, given how disastrous it was in Libya? We're talking to a Syrian girl right now. And the evidence for all this basically comes from one source. They said it was unverified footage, and then it was footage from the White Helmets for the from the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. These are all groups completely aligned with the regime change agenda, completely aligned with rebel factions, in some cases aligned with actual ISIS factions. They have been from the very start. And this is the neutral independent group that we're supposed to believe as the complete impartial evidence on all this. Maram, tell us about the White Helmets. Can the White Helmets really be trusted?
Well, the White Helmets are basically the Army of Islam or Al-Qaeda basically putting on a white helmet. That's all it is. The group has been filmed waving Al-Qaeda flags at an Al-Qaeda rally, carrying weapons, torturing Syrian soldiers, holding up severed heads of Syrian soldiers, and faking video footage multiple times of chemical attacks and rescuing children and rescuing each other. They did a very silly video of themselves basically frozen in time rescuing this guy, and later he comes out and he's like, oh, I'm fine, but his acting during the rescue was as if though he was very much in pain and very used to acting. I mean, it's no wonder they won an Oscar, isn't it? So it's all because they act. And who runs this group? Who invented it? Who gave Al-Qaeda these white helmets? Well, it's an MI6 agent named James Lemessurier. And of course, the group is funded by Holland, the US, the UK. And it's interesting that Holland, actually, the United Nations said, oh, this is a very trustworthy group. Well, of course they'd say that because they're the ones who are paying them. So, you know, again, like this video that came out, there's no way to verify whether it happened this yesterday or last year or 6 months ago. There's no date on it. There's been no bodies that came out. I mean, the group actually surrendered Duma. The Russians are completely in Duma, and there's nothing to show where these people died. The video did reveal, you know, the corpses were actually under the ground, and near them was a gas burning stove. And if you're burning wood under the ground, you know, it doesn't even have to be sarin, it doesn't even have to be chlorine, it could be something as simple as carbon monoxide, you know. And it's unfortunate that they chose basically to kill children because they can't fight back and they make the best false flag imagery. And what would Assad benefit from gassing kids if it's going to basically spark World War III?
I know. It's just the sheer number of the lack of number of people who are asking that question in the mainstream media. It's just so obviously not in his favor to do this when they were clearing out the region of Eastern Ghouta. Absolutely incredible. Just people just aren't asking the question though. Now we've got this potential for this war to explode. We've got all these different countries getting involved. We've also got the wider propaganda war, which is being fought obviously on the internet. We had a poll yesterday, a Fox News poll, and I voted in this poll. I retweeted this poll. It was consistently throughout the day, 65% against military intervention in Syria throughout the whole day. Then in like the final few hours of this poll being active, it suddenly flipped. Now, what happened with that poll?
Well, there's this guy that is basically a journalist for the Muslim Brotherhood who has 500,000 followers on Twitter. And he tweeted this poll and said, guys, vote yes for war against Syria. And after he tweeted that, there was a massive surge of like 80,000 votes within a span of 1 to 2 hours. And even though his tweet, you know, had a large retweet number, like 1,000 favorites, 500 retweets, I don't think that by itself would have been enough. I would hazard a guess that they used bots. So this is supposed to be a poll for Fox News viewers, and you're having the Muslim Brotherhood come in and vote for war. And isn't it interesting that the neocons are on the side of what the Muslim Brotherhood want? John McCain and the neocon Republicans are all now on the same side of Al-Qaeda.
And they have been for the past 6 years since we've been talking about this. Okay, let's wrap it up. Just final comments. Where do you see this going? I mean, do you see it as a limited strike, as kind of a symbolic thing like we saw last year? Or do you see them actually, even at this late stage, still trying this regime change effort? Where do you see this going in the medium and long term?
I think, you know, it's very difficult because the emotions are running high right now. But I think what the U.S. wants is somehow to remain in the northeast of Syria for a prolonged period of time. Perhaps this intimidation tactic is an attempt to get some kind of negotiations towards that. Maybe it'll be a small strike, but I would say that we shouldn't treat it as that, because a small strike is still a strike. I mean, there's been consistent strikes and degradation of Syrian defenses and the strengthening of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, the perpetuation of the war, the creation of refugees. It's not in anyone's interest. So we should treat this as though it is going to be a big strike and as though it might trigger World War III, because it might do that. And if we don't treat it as such and we don't act now, we may live to regret the day. So I would say that if you can, you know, call your local governments, call the White House, do whatever you can, what is in your power, to try to resist and show opposition to this. It might not be for, it might not work, because I hazard a guess that the U.S. deep state, you know, the democracy is basically dead. But it's, you know, it's better than nothing, and we have to do what we can with the limited power that we have. So let's stand against this, because there's a 50-50 chance it's going to be World War III.
Amazing. Well, just tell people in a final minute here how they can find you on social media and on YouTube.
Thanks so much for having me on the show. Find me at Partisan Girl on Twitter and Syrian Girl Partisan on YouTube. I'm also on BitChute, Syrian Girl, and on Minds, Syrian Girl or Partisan Girl, and a bunch of other things. So please check out my Twitter and add me on those.
Okay, we really appreciate you, Syrian Girl. We'll get you back on as this unfolds, which it inevitably will.
We know you're listening to this podcast to relax and not to be distracted by ads, but this one is here to help. If you're an Aeon customer, you could win a holiday of your choice worth £5,000. You could seek out thrills or choose to chill. Enter by December 31st at eonenergy.com/win. T's and C's apply. We know you're listening to this podcast to relax and not to be distracted by ads, but this one is here to help. If you're an Aeon customer, you could win a holiday of your choice worth £5,000. You could seek out thrills or choose to chill. Enter by December 31st at eonenergy.com/win. T's and C's apply. We know you're listening to this podcast to relax and not to be distracted by ads, but this one is here to help. If you're an Aeon customer, you could win a holiday of your choice worth £5,000. You could seek out thrills or choose to chill. Enter by December 31st at eonenergy.com/win. T's and C's apply.
So there we go. There's a little bit of a rundown. There's one more interview which I'll stream as well, but that gives you an indication of where things are really at and how far behind we are on the mainstream news, and what we're actually getting told is very far from the truth. I mean, when you have actually people over there saying we don't actually have any reports of that nerve gas being used, it could possibly be chlorine or it could possibly be nothing, then you have Russia saying it was a false flag attack. Like, it's about time we stop listening to our mainstream news. And the one thing that Syrian Girl said, she said, oh, do what we can, but we can actually do a lot. That's the difference. If there's hundreds of people demanding answers at our politicians and our government and all governments around the world, if there is a rise up of people who basically are like, we're not going to deal with this, they can't continue. Our soldiers won't go to war if we just go no. So it's up to people to talk to the soldiers, talk to people who are in armies and go, do you know you're going overseas to fight for corporate interests?
Do you know that you're going over there for a proxy war, which is going to benefit corporations and the deep state and the mega banks and arms dealers and weapons dealers and these families who are stealing oil from all different countries? Why do they want to get in Syria? They got oil there. They got lithium there. They've got a lot of minerals, like a lot of minerals. And there's also a lot of archaeological stuff there too. This is what you won't hear much on the news, but there's ancient technology which is in Syria. You know, we're talking stargates, we're talking ruins, just like in the pyramids, just like in all places on the planet. There is ancient angelic technology which has been here for well before we got here. So there's many different facets that they try and cover when it comes to why they are invading a country, why they're going in. And that's what we're doing. We're invading. We're actually invading a country. We're putting our noses in where it doesn't belong. And the British Empire has been doing that since the dawn of time. That's why there's so many families that have so much wealth. And then a 99.999% of the population who would be lucky to have $1,000 in their bank. That's why we have 30 million people per year dying of starvation and hunger. I mean, so wrap your head around that. These 60 Tomahawk missiles, which is on this US Donald Cook destroyer, which is sitting off the coast now, each missile is worth $1.4 million. And that's not even firing it and the team that has to fire it and all the rest of it. Just to actually build it, it's $1.4 million. So that's like nearly $90 million just to shoot some missiles at Syria. And you know what? Their airbase that got bombed last year wouldn't even been worth $5 million. You know, we're shooting a million dollar technology at tents, you know, at people living in rubble. And have you guys seen the photos of Syria, what it looks like before and after? It's shocking. It looks now just like a concrete maze of just holes and walls, bullet holes, rubble on the streets. There's no trees, there's no life. It is pretty desert country anyway. But this wasn't the case before the military intervention by the neocons. And we're talking Saudi Arabia, we're talking Israel, we're talking United States. These are all just puppets and they're all friends. Don't think for a second that Israel and Saudi Arabia aren't working together. They are on the same team. They have an agenda. It's about a military strategic point. It's about so many different facets. There's a very important spot, old Damascus in Syria. And it's a very sacred place, very spiritual and very sacred place, you know, before we started laying bombs on it and killing kids and doing all the other stuff which has been happening. So we're not hearing anything like this in the mainstream, are we? We're not hearing a single thing. We're hearing nothing of any benefit to humans. All we're hearing is the disinformation and the lies, the absolute lies. So anyway, guys, I'm just going to put, I'm going to stream another live video, and this is quite an interesting video too. I just thought I'd like to give you an update of what's going on so you can wrap your heads around it and hear some outside information and some alternate truth. Because I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to post truth on Facebook, on the internet. I'm feeling like it's there's probably not much left, and we're just going to have to do what we can and get back into gathering and gathering in our local areas and going back to the basics, you know. The internet's had its time. It's been great. It's connected people. But now we have the spy grid and the dragnet spying and artificial intelligence and the algorithms that are building and all this stuff. It's kind of to the point where it's like, oh, well, maybe we should opt out soon. You know, maybe we should start getting phone numbers off our people off Facebook and get emails and actually connect with them on a deeper level. And let's fuck off Facebook altogether, because it's just a propaganda machine now. You don't see anything useful, nothing positive, nothing beautiful. I remember 5 years ago, you know, I used to jump on Facebook and I was like, I was scrolling through my phone like, oh my God, this is such a good resource of information. And it was just amazing information, constantly like just scrolling through my feed. It was, yeah, cures and tinctures and detoxing methods and beautiful herbs and like positive things going on and protests and green gardens and greenhouses and hemp projects. And that's all I saw on my feed. And I was like, man, this is the best. You know, it was about probably 3 years ago that I started to see the censorship. And then since it's just gone downhill, since the election with Trump and Hillary.
Since the election with Trump and Hillary, I fuck hope you guys could hear that because my thing wasn't plugged in totally. Was that working? Anyway, since Trump and Hillary, it's basically been, censorship, 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 because I realised how much power the social media has. So, fuck, was that working? I'm just checking my phone. That's why I keep looking over there, just to see if it was the sound was coming out, because I actually didn't have the microphone plugged in properly. But all right, I'll jump onto the last little interview and have a listen. This is a guy worth following too, so you should follow Syrian Girl. I'm not saying all the information on InfoWars is great, but they definitely give you an understanding of what's going on. So you need to take out the positive, okay? Take out what is positive, and don't let any of this information get you down. Just use it as a course of information. Understand we are going through a book burning at the moment. What's happened to all the wars, the Vietnam War, World War One, World War Two? Every war was a book burning. They went in, destroyed artifacts, destroyed libraries, burnt books, got rid of history. And that's what's been happening since the dawn of time, wiping out the native people, giving them a different language, you know, giving them alcohol, drugs, bringing in the missionaries, cutting their connection with nature, bringing in this fictional Jesus character, you know, promoting lies and negativity. And then next thing you know, you have a bunch of people which are basically walking around aimlessly, not knowing what they're doing, lost their connection, lost their history. The elders and the shamans and the medicine men and women have mostly been killed. And that's the plan. That's the process, you know. So this is what's happening now in Syria. And then the next people will be Iran and Russia. Iran and Russia and Sudan, which is being bombed anyway. That's kind of, that's the next case, right? Sudan's been getting slammed by Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia is behind basically all the terrorist acts. Does America ever threaten invading Saudi Arabia? No. Fuck, you know? If you wanted to take out a terrorist, man, just go in there and arrest all those princes over there. They're the ones who are funding ISIS. They're the ones who are buying 500 new Toyota Hiluxes for these guys to paint up and put their flags all over them and put machine guns on the back. The money comes from somewhere. You can't run a terrorist organization with hundreds of millions of dollars worth of guns, weapons, ammunition, people, clothes, food, the whole lot. It's a massive operation. And that's why Al-Qaeda and fizzled out years ago, Al-Nusra, because they ran out of money. And terrorism was just like, well, you've got no cash, you can't really do shit. And then they started getting the funding. The funding came in. George Soros and these people, these mega banks, the outside interests, you know, cultivating the heroin, the poppy seeds in Afghanistan, sending the drugs over to America, sending it off into the Asian Triangle, they call it, where all the drugs disappears and they make their way back down to Australia and other countries, funding the pharmaceutical companies who are putting poppy, opiates in all of these prescription drugs, which are designed to trap people in their mind. It's designed to make people depressed, sad, run down, tired. If you get on antidepressants and those drugs, you're stuck. You're finished, guys. You're stuck for life. So that's the issue. It's been designed that way. There's actually a beautiful thing out there, and this is, I'm digressing, but I want to put it out there because it's so powerful. It's called Kratom Tea, K-R-A-Y-T-O-M, Kratom Tea. Now, we have an ice epidemic here in Australia and most countries around the world, crack, ice, heroin, whatever, it's happening. But if you get these people on Kratom Tea, 3 grams a day, it's just tea, you put it in water and you drink it, you heat it up. People who have had a 10-year ice or heroin addiction can get off it in 3 days. 3 days. Absolutely astronomical reports on this plant. Guess what? The FDA has tried to ban it all around the world. Of course they have. So what I'm saying is you guys should go out there and order it. You should order the seeds and you should plant it. And people who you know who are a bit fucked up, you should give it to them. So anyhow, that's another day for another dollar, another story. Let's jump into this last video here. And this is a good overview on what's happening also. Hopefully this new technology I'm working will work. And thank you to all the people out there who are sharing. This is going to be a bi-weekly thing with Shane Benatar, El High Priest, Tony Sayers, Robert Doucht. I'm going to have a lot of big names on, just Facebook duel like I did yesterday, last night. Obviously not 2.5 hours. I just went extreme last night. I don't know how that happened. But I did it and it's fun. So here it is, and I will see you guys a bit later.
So now here's the new attack. That's the one that's happened today. So here's Media Lens tweeted out, front page of the BBC News. This front page of the BBC News. Government helicopters dropped chlorine on Aleppo, but could not be independently verified. So this gentleman, Charles Shoebridge, says, Assad chlorine attack dominates West headlines, conveniently just as his opponents meet West governments in London. Here's from a Middle East newspaper. It says, jumping to conclusions, something is not adding up in the Idlib chemical weapons attack. At least 58 people were killed in a horrific gas attack However, even before investigations could be conducted for evidence to emerge, Federica Mogherini, the Italian politician, high representative of the European Union for foreign affairs and security policy. This guy's a big shot in the European Union. He is the high representative for European Union for foreign affairs and security policy. He condemned the Syrian government, stating that the Assad regime bears responsibility for the awful Syria chemical attack. Even before any evidence was in, where, who came from, where did it, what, nothing. Already knew, already going to go public. Does that sound like propaganda? The immediate accusation from a high-ranking EU official serves as a dangerous precedent where public outcry can be made even before the truth surrounding the tragedy can emerge.
Yeah, and Trump did the same thing. I mean, here in our neck of the woods.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Israeli President Benjamin Netanyahu joined in on the condemnation, as did Amnesty International. Merely hours after the alleged chemical weapons attack in Khan Sheikhoun, supposedly by the Syrian government, holes are beginning to emerge from the opposition sources, discrediting the Al-Qaeda affiliate White Helmet's claims. By the way, it's the Al-Qaeda who did this. They did it before, they're probably doing it again. Doesn't make sense that Syria would do this. And by the way, we're supposed to be trying to kill Al-Qaeda, except we're not. Because we were training Al-Qaeda and ISIS to fight Assad. Isn't that weird? But then we're trying to kill them in Iraq, but we're training them in... It doesn't matter as long as there's a war to fight. Doesn't matter. It says, for one, see in the above picture, the White Helmets are handling the corpses of people without sufficient safety gear, most particularly with the masks mostly used, as well as no gloves. Although this may seem insignificant, understanding the nature of sarin gas that the opposition's claim was used only opens questions. So these are the White Helmets. And they're picking up these people who are supposed victims of sarin gas. And that would be dangerous to do it like that. You're supposed to have gloves on. They don't have the sufficient safety gear. Within seconds of exposure to sarin, the effects of the gas begin to target the muscle and nervous system. There is an almost immediate release of the bowels and the bladder, and vomiting is induced. When sarin is used in a concentrated area, it has the likelihood of killing thousands of people. Yet, such a dangerous gas, and the White Helmets are treating bodies with little concern to their exposed skin. This has to raise questions. It also raises the question of why a doctor in a hospital full of victims of sarin gas has the time to tweet and make video calls. This will probably be dismissed as forgotten, however, and here it is. So this guy shows, he says, terrorist Mohammed Alusha is not a gas expert. He's just one of the participants in this crime. And this guy tweets out, patients are flooding in, yet this doctor seems the main source of gas attack, has time to film, tweet, and video call. So he says, this is the latest from sarin attacks. Patients are still flooding in. This child's been rushed without any family. They're probably dead. So this is the guy who's been giving everybody their information about what's going on. He's talking about the gas attack and people flooding in. And this guy makes the point, really, in the middle of a gas attack, you got time to tweet, you got time to take videos, you got time. Here he says, our hospital getting full from sarin attack today. Anyone that wants evidence, I will video call you. Really, in the middle of taking care of people with sarin attack? So it turns, and also I did a little research on that guy. He's been disbarred by a long, long time ago. He was, it was a secret, hearing that he had, but he was charged with, semi-terrorism related, put it that way. We'll do another story about what happened to him in England. It is known that about 250 people from Majdal and Katab were kidnapped. Get this. So it is known that 250 people were kidnapped by Al-Qaeda terrorists last week. 250 people were kidnapped by Al-Qaeda terrorists, the ones trying to overthrow Assad, trained and armed by the United States. The Al-Qaeda, the people who attacked us, we're arming them, we're training them. Local sources have claimed that many of those dead from the chemical weapons were those from Majdal and Kitab, meaning they were the people that the Al-Qaeda kidnapped. Here's another picture. It says, also, what is brought into question is where the location of the house is coming from in the picture. Like, where is this? Where are they? A dugout carved into the rock. That's the house. So it's...
Mm-hmm.
So... This also suggests that the location is at a White Helmet's base, where there are dugout hiding spots carved into the mountainside and where they have easy access to equipment and highlighted by Twitter user Ian Grant. So you could see that those things are built right into the mountain, right? These little... Also, see how it goes right in?
Mm-hmm.
Also, the pickup trucks remain consistent to what local sources have said, that many of those dead were kidnapped by Al-Qaeda terrorists from pro-government towns in rural Hama. So Al-Qaeda terrorists went into pro-government towns, kidnapped people, and they say those trucks look like the same trucks the Al-Qaeda terrorists used. And by the way, where's that hose coming? Where are they? And nobody has on gloves, nobody has on the safety gear they're supposed to have. Therefore, it is completely this goes on a little bit later in the article. It says, therefore, it is completely unsurprising that Orient TV has already prepared a, quote, media campaign to cover the Russian and Syrian airstrikes in Hama countryside against terrorist forces, with the allegations that the air forces have been using chemical weapons. So they're already reporting it like that. And most telling, their announcement of covering the use of chemical weapons by the Syrian government hours before the allegations even emerged. What? Seems like someone forgot to tell him that it would not occur for a few more hours before he tweeted this out. And here's the tweet. And it's translated underneath, says, Orient TV reporter, quote, tomorrow we are launching a media campaign to cover the airstrikes on Hama countryside, including the use of CW. But I guess he tweeted that out a little too early. Isn't that weird? And this, of course, begs the question. With the Syrian army and its allies in a comfortable position in Syria, making advances across the country and recovering lost points in rural Hama, why would they now resort to using chemical weapons? Why would they? The Syrian government is winning the war in Syria now. They're taking back cities. They're liberating it from terrorists like ISIS, al-Nusra, and al-Qaeda. So why would they now do this? This screams false flag. Screams. It's a very simple question with no clear answer. It defies any logic that on the eve of the Syrian conference in Brussels and a week before peace negotiations are to resume, that the Syrian government would blatantly use chemical weapons. Agreed. Agreed. It defies any logic. Agreed. Doesn't make sense. That's not what you're going to hear on MSNBC tonight. That's not what you're going to hear on CNN or ABC or the New York Times or CNN.
You're just going to hear about Trump's knee-jerk reaction and how he blamed, you know, how he pointed a finger at Obama too. They're going to bring it to, you know, United States-based bickering, because that's as deep as they go typically.
So this article concludes, all evidence suggests this is another false chemical attack allegation made against the government, as seen in the Khan al-Assal 2013 attack, where the terrorist groups hoped that the former President Obama's red line would be crossed, leading to U.S. intervention in Syria against the government. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get the United States to put boots on the ground and go into Syria and topple Assad. And how do you do that? You say Assad's gassing his own people. Here's something else. Here's Partisan Girl tweeted out. She's got a blue check. She says, why would the White Helmets receive sarin respirator suits only a month before the attack? Syria doesn't even have sarin gas. That's the thing everybody else remember. They got rid of all their sarin gas in 2013. Here's one more smarty pants guy. His name's Charles Shoebridge. He's a former Army officer, Scotland Yard detective, and a counterterrorism intelligence officer. He's a lawyer and a broadcaster and a writer. He tweeted this out. As Trump says, my attitude to Assad has changed. Is now clear to all who the Syrian sarin attack beneficiaries are. So he's making the point that now Trump is upset. He wants to, his attitude on Assad has changed. Before it was support Assad, go after the terrorists. Now because of the gas attack, Trump has to come out and say, yeah, I'm against Assad. And who do you think that benefits? It benefits ISIS. It benefits Qatar. It benefits Saudi Arabia. It benefits Israel. All the people who want to overthrow Assad. That's who this gas attack benefits. Doesn't make sense that Assad would do this. In fact, listen to what Trump said today.
When you kill innocent children, innocent babies, little babies.
You mean like how you did in Yemen? You mean like how we did in Iraq? You mean like how we do in Syria? You mean like how we do in Afghanistan? What are you talking about? We just got done bombing hospitals. What are you talking? Other people, that's the beauty. They kill little, we don't kill babies. We use good Christian bombs. They dodge babies.
People were shocked to hear what gas it was. That crosses many, many lines beyond the red line, many, many lines.
So everybody got their wish. Trump is looks like he wants to have a muscular response in Syria. Happy? This is what America wants? A war in fucking Syria? Want to go in there now? You happy? Is everybody at the DNC happy? Is Donna Brazile happy? Is Rachel Maddow happy and Chris Hayes and Chris Matthews? Are you happy now? You got Trump. He wants to go into Syria. Are you happy? This is what you wanted, right? Maybe even a war with Russia. That's what you, because that's what that means. That means we're going to war with Russia. That's what that means. Because wherever there's a Syrian military base, there are Russian soldiers. And if we start fucking killing Russian soldiers, we're in World War III. And you happy? This is where this leads. Here's a guy, former UK ambassador to Syria. He says if jihadists wants to upset new Trump policy, they would mount a fake news attack like this. Here he is. Former British ambassador to Syria, Peter Ford. Here he is, Peter Ford. You want to hear what he says?
Dogs returning to their own vomit. They made all these mistakes, Iraq, Libya. They never learn, and they would like to reproduce the same scenario in Syria. Fortunately, the Trump administration moved only last week, and this may be significant here, moved only last week to disown the Obama policy of trying to unseat the Syrian regime. Trump's people said, we're more interested in unseating ISIS. That's our priority. You may think it's significant that this attack comes days after that. Now, if the jihadis wanted to complicate Trump's task of making America's policy more sensible, they wouldn't have gone about it any other way than trying to mount a piece of fake news like this.
I'm going to guarantee you're not going to hear that on the mainstream news. So, did you hear what he said? Trump just recently said, hey, we're not trying to topple Assad anymore. A week later, there's a sarin gas attack. Trump says, oh my God, they crossed the red line. You don't have to be a freaking genius to understand what's happening. All you have to do is have your eyes open and look at history. And not even that long ago, 2013. Don't have to go back that far. People are rooting for war. You think I'm kidding? Look at this tweet. Susan Hennessy. She got a blue check. She says, I honestly don't care if Trump needs to bash Obama on this to score political points. I only care that Trump actually does something now. So you call him a Russian and you red bait Trump constantly. And then you have a fake gas tax. Now he's got, oh, we got him. Now he's got to start a war. That's all she cares about is if he starts a war. That's what she's saying. All I care about is if he starts a war. What the fuck is wrong with you people? This is the guy you all said was unhinged and unstable, and now you want him to start a war? I thought he was unstable and a maniac. So, David Cleon says, this is insane. Here's an unstable person, and you want him to start another war. Yeah. Yeah, they do. The whole fucking mainstream media has lost their mind. They've lost their mind. And guess what? This video is going to be demonetized by YouTube. We're not getting paid to bring you this story. And you're not going to get this story anywhere else. And I knew they were going to demonetize this video before I even started it, but I'm doing it anyway. So this is getting important now. We're getting really close to a real war. Even though we're in 7 of them already. This is getting close to World War III, and I want to keep covering this. So if you'd like to see some more reporting on this, YouTube doesn't want to. Their advertisers don't want to see our reporting on this. The mainstream media, the Democratic Party, nobody wants to see our reporting on this. That's why they're demonetizing it, and we won't get paid, and our channel's taking a big hit, just like all the other news channels on YouTube. So please use our Patreon link or become a premium member and help support independent news media. We can't do it without you now. We never could before either, but now for sure. They just pulled the rug out from underneath us. You know what's going on with YouTube. I'll make another video about it. But this story needs to get told, and it needs to keep being told. And you wonder why people get their news from YouTube. Hey, our next live, Jimmy Dore.
Right, so we're starting to get a bit of an understanding of what's really about to pan out. And Jimmy Dore was also explaining exactly how the censorship's working on YouTube. A lot of my good friends have had their accounts demonetized, so their life and their job was making incredibly powerful and important movies for YouTube, for you guys to learn and to evolve from. So that's actually knocked a whole bunch of my friends out of what they do, and now they're going to have to look for a normal job when they're putting the most incredible information out there. Now, if you guys haven't started following me already, there's the website right there, innateawareness.com. Get on there, check it every day, because I'm going to be pulling away from Facebook. I'm going to be getting all my shit off YouTube, because sooner or later I won't be allowed on there anyway. Only just 3 days ago, I had my latest video, Gathering of Momentum, on Nate Max TV. If you're not on my podcast or my YouTube, it's Nate Max TV. And I had the last video removed because I spoke about David Hogwash, which is the Operation David Hogwash, the PSYOPs, the false flag attack in America to try and remove the guns from the American people. So, they didn't like that. Apparently, it was against privacy. Apparently, it was harassing and bullying when I was just putting truth out there, factual truth. So this is where we're heading. I try and post things on Facebook, and the button's not there. It will not let me post. The button disappears. The share button's not there. People message me and go, I can't even see you on Facebook anymore. And when I try and share your post, it won't even allow me. So this is the full stream attack is on now. Now, I was talking about this 3 years ago. I did it for YouTube 3 years ago before my account was deleted a couple of years ago and I lost all my followers. And now I've been trying to kind of regroup and regather. I'm kind of realizing that maybe we just continue doing our gatherings in real life and use this as a secondary means rather than trying to put information out through a system which is designed and controlled by the deep state, YouTube, Facebook, all these companies, they're all, run by the Zionists, the Jesuits, the Freemasons, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, bunch of parasites who are obsessed with controlling and destroying things. So it's up to us human beings to go, no, we will not go to war. If you want to go to war, Trump, you can fuck off and go to war by yourself. You can go there, take your family, take your kids as well. You guys can fight in the front line. We'll bring our troops home. We'll bring our soldiers home. We'll bring all our friends home, and we'll focus on growing gardens. We'll focus on planting food forests, and we'll use the army to restore the planet. Rather than destroying it, the army can be the restoration army, where they go around and they fix rainforests, fix the rivers, fix the oceans. A team of people, a massive team of people that go around and create scenarios to benefit mankind, to benefit humans, rather than going overseas and fighting for corporate interests. And that's what war is. That's what all wars have been about, fighting for corporate interests. Sinking the Titanic, the sinking of the Lusitania, false flag attacks, the Gulf of Tonkin, 9/11, the Paris false flag attack, the London false flag attack. All these false flag attacks, you can look them all up. They're all false flag attacks. Problem, reaction, solution. Create a problem, make a big reaction, which is used by the media, the mainstream, or as I like to call it, the sewage stream media, and then give them a solution, which is basically going to destroy rights, freedoms, and our liberties. Anything that's about stopping terrorism for privacy is about taking your privacy. That's how it works. So anything that's called the Patriot Act, the Privacy Act, the Libertarian Act, this is all just ways to take your liberties and take your freedoms away, but name it something else, and you're like, oh, that sounds great. The Patriot Act, which is really about destroying everything and all your free speech and going against the Constitution for people who are in America. But anyhow, guys, I just thought I'd jump on, give you a bit of an upload. Got some people on. Yep, good. Thanks for listening. Thank you for all the people who share out there. But like I said, get onto the... I've got to do it backwards. Get onto the website. That's weird. Get on the website, jump onto the YouTube, jump onto the podcast. My cousin actually owns a podcast network called Ozcast here in Australia. So there's no censorship on podcasts. So when I put something up, it's going to be there. There'll be no censorship like YouTube where people don't see you. So if any of you guys out there have really amazing people who want to have a podcast, let me know, contact me through my Facebook, and we'll get you up and running and get you on there, because the social media is kind of to the point for truthers. It's dead. It works good for people who are taking shirt off selfies of themselves and photos of girls with their boobs out and all this type of thing. That seems to work. But when you promote truth, there's a bit of a tumbleweed going through, and yeah, it's a bit difficult. So anyhow, thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you guys shortly. I'll be uploading another Gathering of Momentum in the next couple of days. I'm going to re-upload the last one, which didn't make it through, and I got a ban. Maybe I'll get banned again. Who knows? But yeah. All right. Much love, guys. Bye now.